Welcome to the Happy Type 1 podcast, your exploration of a happy life with type 1. In this podcast, we challenge the classic diabetes management through biohacking. I'm your host, Julia Joseph, a type 1 German travel junkie, nutritionist and scientist with a vision of empowering type 1 diabetics to live their lives to the fullest, despite the ups and downs of this condition. To do this, I run online courses and one-on-one trainings on nutrition and mental health, and of course, this podcast.
For today's episode, I spoke with Katie Lamb, an art history student at the University of Birmingham, UK, who is using her talent to bring more colour to the type 1 community and share important messages about living with type 1 by portraying people with this chronic condition. Her art had only recently been chosen to be on the cover of the National Pediatric Diabetes Audit UK. So in this episode, we speak briefly about her childhood and teenage years as Katie got diagnosed when being only 2 years old, and then dive right into her art and her beautiful contribution to the empowerment and inspiration of type 1s. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, Katie. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. It's kind of interesting how we got to know each other, because we got to know each other through Instagram, because I saw one of your drawings at on a friend's wall. And I thought, that's kind of cool, and I really liked it. So I contacted you, and now we're here. So that's cool. So who is Katie? For the people listening, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a 19-year-old art history student, but I'm also an artist living with type 1 diabetes since 2003.
Because you got diagnosed very early, you were 2 years old, I think, so you have type 1 since a very long time now.
Yeah, it was just before my second birthday, so it's always been there for me. It's just part of my life and who I am.
Yeah, cool, okay. How was it when you were a kid? Was it quite challenging for your parents? Like, how did they take track of your blood sugar levels?
So there was no kind of CGMs or pumps or any of the fancy technology we have now. So it was a case of pinning little me down and pricking my finger and writing it all down and working out all the calculations. But they did a really good job. I have a lot of respect for all parents of type 1 children, because they did an amazing, amazing job.
Did you understand as a child how important it was to take track of your blood sugar levels and all the data your parents were trying to collect?
Not as much as I do now. But I think it was always, because it was always something I had to do, I knew it was important. I knew there was a reason. But no child is particularly fond of, injections and finger pricks. So it would be kind of try and get away with as few injections as I could every day, but
Yeah, sure. I think it's quite challenging, especially then also later as a teenager, when you just, everyone is eating, everyone is drinking whatever they want. And of course, although we can as well, we just, for us it's more difficult to do that. So I sometimes hear that it's more challenging for teenagers to go through that time and, to really look after themselves. And I got diagnosed when I was 25, I think. So for me, I was already kind of aware of everything
and
more mature. So I think it was a bit easier for me. How was it in your teenage years with that? And now that you started uni, how is it now?
So for a long time, it was okay. I started secondary school, I became more independent, and I thought, this is fine. Then once I reached about 17, school got a lot more stressful, life in general just became a whole lot more stressful, and that really impacted on how I managed my diabetes. I went through periods of going, I don't want to do any of it, I'm going to leave it as long as I can before I have to correct, or I'm not really going to think about what I'm eating, I'm just going to put in some numbers and hope that it works out okay. And then I went to other extremes where I was obsessive and I really struggled to think about anything other than diabetes, which was a really crazy time in my life where I just, everything was focused on my blood sugars.
Okay. So now you're at uni and you're studying history of art. How is it now at university with your type 1 and the new friends you make? Are you very open with it? Are you telling people that you have it? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, generally I'm pretty open about having it, I think, because I had it from such a young age. It was always just something I'd say, hi, I'm Katie, I'm diabetic. It wasn't something...
like your last name.
I was never very good at hiding having diabetes. It was more difficult when I got to uni. I think it was the first time I was really aware that I was introducing myself as being diabetic. I think as a child, it was something I just did automatically. I didn't know that it was a big deal. Uni was the first time when I thought, oh, people actually don't know what this is and I'm actually going to have to explain things to people. But luckily for me, all of my friends are incredible. They've all really helped me through my first year. It's gone pretty well.
Amazing, great. So let's speak a bit about your art and you drawing type 1 diabetics. First of all, what led you into drawing and studying art?
So art's always been something that I've really loved. For as long as I can remember, art has been my biggest hobby, my passion. I actually wanted for a long time to study medicine because I wanted to help people with diabetes.
Big difference to art.
Yeah. And I realized I was not made for med school. I was definitely made to be an arty, creative kind of person. But I realized I could do the same thing to help diabetics and to have the same kind of impact, but through art instead. Which is what has really driven me to kind of keep up the art, and especially in terms of diabetes, because it's meant I could do what I've wanted to do ever since I was really, really little. And that just makes me really, really happy.
So what exactly do you draw? So what can we see on your pictures?
They're mainly portraits of people with type 1. About all different kinds of things, but just life with type 1 in all of its different aspects.
So the end product is an image, and people can get the image. Do you also do posters? Do you print it? Stickers?
I have some stickers. Yeah, you can buy my little designs, but most of the time the end product is the drawing.
And what's people's motive to be drawn and showing their technology?
I think it varies between people. I think a lot of the time it's quite, it's a different way of sharing a message that a lot of people want to get across. And by putting it into artwork, you can kind of say more, see different things. I think it's a way of having a bit of fun with your diabetes. Often it's quite difficult. And it's quite empowering to see yourself gadgets and all, which I think really helps people.
Yeah. Also, I think technology can help to make the invisible disease visible. So, you can just throw someone with type 1 with diabetes, but you won't see it. So it's nice to also show the technology. Yeah. So you mainly draw women and without faces, meaning like they have a hat, but they don't have eyes, nose, mouth. Why is that?
I will draw anyone that asks to be part of my page. So I would love the page to be as diverse as possible. So if there are any guys out there that want to be included,
yay,
that's absolutely fine.
I saw a picture of one guy, I think, or two.
Yeah.
There are some.
There are some out there. But I think a lot of the time the body image message is quite an important one for women. I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with. And the faces, for me, I thought it was really important that the messages weren't just about one person in particular. They were about a person with diabetes. So I know that drawing is of someone and I can name that person and that person knows it's of them. but I wanted other people to be able to look at it and see themselves in that portrait. And I think by not giving it a particular set of features, it helps to kind of generalize and say, look, this is a person with diabetes and they are strong, just like you are.
Nice, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's your artistic research behind your work? Like, what are you looking at? So you want that people identify with it, so you don't have the faces, but what's the work you do before you draw or paint someone?
I spend quite a lot of time talking to the person, just because I think it helps to kind of get to know who I'm actually drawing. It's not just a stranger over the internet, you know, this is a person. But I spend a lot of time kind of just, yeah, thinking about how they want to be presented. I use the photos they've given me, and artwork that I've seen. You know, I obviously look at a lot of artwork. I'm an art history student. Mm-hmm. And so all of that kind of comes together to create each of the images.
Mm. And what about the slogan? Some of your pictures have slogan. We will talk about that in a bit as well. But is that something the person who wants to be drawn comes up with, or is it something you come up with?
It varies. Most of the ones that I've been commissioned to do are given to me by the person, mm-hmm. which I really love, because I get to hear all of these really inspirational things. I would have never thought of that. I love that.
Yeah, they're cool. I really like them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say that your art is influenced by things going on in the world?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to create art completely without any context. I try not to, you know, get too political or anything like that on the page, just because it is for everyone. But it is impossible to ignore, you know, what's going on in this world.
Yeah, sure. What do you think about the hashtag body positive movement? And did you ever have someone who said, oh, I would like to be drawn differently, for example, slimmer or longer hair, shorter hair, whatever it is? Or are people already quite comfortable with how they are?
Yeah, so obviously the body positive is really important, I think, for everyone, and especially people with type 1 diabetes. I think it plays a massive role in our lives. I've never had anyone have any specific requests to alter the image they've given me, which makes me really happy.
Great, yeah. Great news.
The only thing I get asked a lot of is, can you make my pump more visible? Or can you add on a device? People say, it was actually on the other arm, but can you move it over here so you can see it? And that makes me really happy, because people want them to be seen.
That's good. That's nice, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk a bit about some of the people you painted. So, for example, I saw one picture on your wall with a woman holding kind of the hand in front of her face, and then it says 5 things that help. And I think you put down positive, what were the things, I'm trying to read that, organization, talking to my team, dear buddies, and making art. So that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. So that was based on a prompt by the charity Diabetes UK, and they asked what things help your life with diabetes. And so this is actually a drawing of me. And for me, making art really helps me process my emotions, and so I thought that was really important in my control of diabetes. My diabetes, my friends with diabetes are, you know, they're vital, they're support in this whole journey. Talking to my team has always been a huge thing for me. I think it's important to have a good relationship with your doctors and nurses and everyone else involved. Organization. I like to stay on top of things. I like to think about what I'm doing, and I find that really helps me personally to control it.
Yeah.
So I thought putting this into a little image was a nice way of showing non-diabetics the kinds of things that can help, aside from just, you know, going to the hospital, doing injections, all of the things that everyone kind of knows.
It's really nice. Another one, I hope maybe we can share some of your pictures. Well, I definitely put a link to your Instagram in the show notes so people can see it. And we haven't discussed that actually, but maybe I can put some on my website so people can see the images we're now talking about. But we will try to describe them as well. So, one says, you don't always have to be grateful that it isn't worse. And someone showing, I think it's an Omnipod on the arm.
Yeah.
I kind of like the messages because it's positive, but it's not like just like, oh, it's an amazing world and it's great to have type 1. So it's still quite down to earth.
Yeah, someone, the person in the drawing gave me that quote and I thought it was really powerful. I think everyone's heard someone say, oh, you know, at least it's not cancer. Or, you know, oh, at least it's not something else. And I think it's really important not to compare illnesses because things, you have no idea what it's like to live with something else. And so I thought this was really important to not, yeah, to have that balance of it isn't great, but also this is what we've got to live with.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a bit similar to another picture where someone is showing their palm saying, I love the sweet life, but praying for a cure. Mm. So I think for me, I can say I'm really trying to make the best of it. I'm really looking for ways to improve my health in general. I'm very passionate about it. But of course, there is a part inside of me which hopes for a cure. And of course, we all want that. So it really spoke to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I really related to that as well. In that, yeah, this I'm making the most of what I've got, and this is I'm having a great time. But obviously, everyone out there would think, oh, it would be nice to have a cure.
Yes. And you can compare very well to your childhood, how it was to not having a CGM, and now you have that, so you can really see the improvements. When I got it, I already had all these things available, and now I'm getting a pump. I'm super excited about it. So it's new for me, but it's cool, I think. Another picture is the reader of the Freestyle Libre sensor, the system with which you can read the sensor if you're not using an iPhone or another phone, like the app, and it says on the screen, recharge yourself too, and the charger is plugged into the reader. And I thought, wow, that is so true.
Yeah, I thought I spend a lot of time taking care of my medical devices, and I make sure, you know, I have a whole routine.
Like,
do I make sure I have a routine? Yeah, I was like, do I have a routine for my actual, you know, myself, my mental health? I thought maybe if I took as much care of myself as I did my Libre, this might be, you know, an easier life.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. What do you do to recharge yourself?
Honestly, take a break from diabetes. I think I spend a lot of time thinking about it. So anything I can do to kind of put everything down, if I read a book, watch some TV, make some art, non-diabetes related, that really helps me.
Okay. Maybe last one in here is someone with brown long hair, kind of looking up to the sky, and the slogan is, her mountains did not break her, instead they only shaped her.
Yeah, I love this quote. I think it's from a poet. I don't think this is an original quote, but I just thought it was really inspiring. Because we face so many mountains with this. I mean, everyone in life does. Mm-hmm. Diabetes particularly throws some stuff at us. And it could break us, but I think I've met a lot of people who have been made really strong because of this disease.
Yeah. Also, some of those drawings were on the cover of a magazine. I saw that on your wall. You got featured in a magazine, right?
A lot of crazy stuff has happened with my drawings that I never ever expected to happen. And one of them was on the paediatric diabetes audit for this year's data. So that was really incredible.
That's really cool and amazing. Yeah. And what drives you to do that? So it's that you feel that you can empower people by drawing them, or what drives you to express your thoughts in art?
Yeah, I think there's a mixture of different things that all come together. The fact that I can, you know, empower people, spread their messages. But also I found a lot of non-diabetics and particularly healthcare professionals actually find an easier way of understanding life diabetes. I found a lot of doctors that knew what it was like in the textbooks, but maybe didn't know what it was like once they, you know, logged off their, you know, Diasend downloads and everything. They didn't know what diabetes really looked like. And I could draw life with type 1 and I could get them to see things in a different way. And I really thought that was an important part of helping people with diabetes.
Yeah. And what inspires you?
I mean, everyone with diabetes inspires me. Every time I go on my diabetes page and I can scroll through and I could just keep reading all these stories because I think, wow, these people are really, you know, incredible people.
Yeah.
That's what really inspires me.
Which artist do you personally like or follow?
Oh, see, as not a history student, that's an impossible question.
Ah, okay.
I like any artist that has a message. I think anything that is being created for a purpose really speaks to me. Although I have to say I do love a good bit of, you know, Michelangelo, Leonardo. Mm-hmm.
Well, you kind of mentioned it a bit, but do you find drawing or creating art is meditative? Do you feel like it's sort of also improvement maybe with your blood sugars when you do that? I mean, I meditate, so I do see improvement with that. But I know a lot of people who create things they really want to. It can be healing as well, and it can be very positive for the body. Do you see that? Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. Especially when I'm getting quite anxious about my blood sugars and I'm over-treating and I'm freaking out. I find that if I spend time to go, right, I'm going to draw a picture and I'm going to wait and I'm going to see what happens and I'm going to just not think about my blood sugars for a few minutes. And I find that that has a really positive effect on my control, my mental health, and then my physical health, because it means that they have time to level out or do what they're going to do before I freak out and over-treat.
Nice. And where do you think your project is going from now on? Where do you, what's the plan for the future with your art?
Ooh, that's a big question. I'm really going wherever it takes me. I'd love to have, you know, a really diverse page full of all of the wonderful people that I can, you know, get involved with. I would love to keep doing art as a career in some form. I'm still working out exactly what that might look like, but I hope this is part of my future in some way, as long as possible.
And what would you like to do after uni? Like you said before, when we discussed yesterday on a phone call, that you want to do art therapy.
That's what, something that I'm considering now is going into art therapy. I think that would be a way of kind of putting this passion into something good and something real. But obviously I'm still first year at uni, still working it all out.
How is the entire lockdown and COVID affecting your studies?
So I came home before uni even closed. My flat had 13 people in it. And I thought, if one of us gets it, we're all going down. I don't want it to be me. So I came back home and I had to do my lectures online, all my seminars for pre-recorded, and then I had a couple of essays to write. Thankfully, it's all over now, and I get to enjoy the lovely weather.
And there's no delay in your studies, so that's great.
Yeah, I was quite fortunate that it didn't affect me too badly.
Great. Okay, well, I have some bonus questions for the end. It's something I ask all the people I interview. So there are five beginnings of sentences, and the first thing which comes to your mind, you just say it. So the first one is, okay. Taiwan is?
Something that makes me stronger.
What I know today, I wished I'd known back then is?
It gets better in this very last forever.
I'm grateful for
everyone that's helped me through all the difficult times.
I'm a present to this world because?
Because I have something different to offer and I want to use that.
One thing on my bucket list is?
To see more places in the world.
Any particular one for now? What's the next on the list?
I want to go back to Italy. Post-coronavirus.
Great, yeah. I love Italy as well. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the interview. And is there any way people can get in contact with you? Also, if they want to have their picture drawn, what's the best way of getting through to you?
So the best way is through my Instagram, which is katie_t1d_artxox. And just send me a message and I'll have a chat and we'll sort out how to get everyone featured on the in the drawings.
Great, yeah, fantastic. I will also put it in the show notes, so people can click on that. Well, thank you very much, Katie, and have a lovely day. That's all for today's episode. If you did not manage to take notes, remember you can get a summary of the key takeaways and many illustrations of today's episode on my website, thehappytype1.com. Simply check out my blogcast there. Plus, I always have additional free downloads packed with information available for you on top of my page. And your feedback and questions are super important to me, so let's connect via Instagram at thehappytype1 or send me your questions through my website. If you enjoy the show, please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to the show. This means a lot to me and is a massive support to keep the podcast running and the love spreading. In this sense, thanks for listening. I'm excited to hear your comments on today's episode and how you get on living your best Type 1 lives possible. Stay tuned for the next episode coming out next Wednesday. I wish you a beautiful day, full of colors and laughter. You are a gift to this world. Now go out and shine.